Nikki, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Very excited for today's live. I was just telling everyone before you joined in about what a fantastic hobby you've picked up. And now you've become an expert, I would say, because I've seen the pictures, I've seen how beautiful your room looks. So quickly, I'll start by introducing Off 10, then I'll introduce you, and we'll jump into the topic. So Off10 is
Perfect.
a physical and digital space. We're trying to give a platform to change makers, interesting individuals, and small businesses. I think that's becoming more pertinent during these times. We want people to talk about the work that they're doing. With the
Yes.
advent of big business, I think what's going to keep this world going the way we want it to go is small businesses and change makers and individuals who are striving to make a difference.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Nikki is one such individual. Not only is she a fantastic marketing and brand strategist she's been working in the F&B space for a long time, but she's also doing her part in making the world a better place. She's an open gardener. So Nikki, you can quickly start by telling us a little bit about what kind of work you're doing.
You want me to deep dive into my own work as well? Should I?
Absolutely,
Okay, perfect.
absolutely.
So I've been in the food space for the longest time, and that's how I met you, which has actually been great. From running a restaurant to working for an FMCG company to now consulting. So I've of course spent about the last 7 years in the food and beverage space completely, and I'm continuing to do that even now. I'm currently consulting on two very fun projects, one of which is into food experiences and one is into sustainability completely. So it's funny how everything sort of came together because it's food and sustainability and gardening and everything. So it's beautiful. But more on that project when things sort of come together. Apart from that, plants, I mean, this is something that I've been doing avidly for the last now almost 2 years. And yeah, I run quite a bit.
Yeah,
So this
so
has been my life.
very interesting because you sound like a very, very busy person. I know for a fact you're a very busy person, and most of us believe we're too busy to even have a hobby. So can you tell me about what got you gardening and working towards a sustainable environment in the first place? How did you start?
I've mainly always been in the outdoor space. I've always really liked nature. I've been trekking, going diving, and a couple of other adventure-related spots. Last year, this time, or maybe earlier the year, I moved into a new house, and we're looking at figuring out how to put this together completely. And somewhere, getting the outdoors inside was something that I was really, really looking forward to. We've been farming for the last 10 years. We've always been into nature so much. But, living an urban life doesn't really end up happening where you end up seeing greens outside or feeling really bad when a tree is cut, but we never think of getting it inside completely. So I think that sort of motivated me to at least get a couple of plants. And the good part about plants is that once they start thriving in front of you, you want to get more of them because you realize that when you have them around you, they actually grow really well. You feel amazing. You feel amazing if a plant sort of comes together. And I think I started with two or three, and now we are at over 100 plants now.
I have so many questions because every time I try and keep a plant at home, I end up killing it. So, and I feel super guilty about that.
I've killed it.
So,
Don't feel bad. Sorry.
yeah, so I want to understand a little bit more about that, especially since you're spending more and more time at home. We are sort of not getting to see the outdoors as much, and you don't know how long this is going to continue. So, what would you suggest for someone to start off with? What kind of plant did they buy? Where did they bring it from? How do I not kill my plants?
Let me first break the biggest myth. It's that you will if you're not gonna sort of every plant needs water and sunlight. It's everything that we ever learned in school. But how much they need is always dependent on climatic conditions, which you don't need to really get into the depth of each time. But there are easy plants and then there are difficult plants. But every plant is not the same. Like how every human is not the same, every plant is not the same. It's also taken me some time to sort of adapt and move through my way to understand which plant sort of works and which plant doesn't work. But I always suggest to get easier plants in the beginning versus getting exotic plants. Though they look really good, but when I say your plants, you want to sort of get air purifiers, you want to get cacti, you want to get creepers, you want to get anything that doesn't require you to pay more attention than maybe once every 5 days.
Right.
Because these plants are self-sufficient, they grow by themselves, they don't need too much light. So the idea is that air, water, light, you want to pick a plant which is low on all.
Okay, so what kind of plants do you
suggest? So there's something called the ZZ, which is one of my favorite plants. You have your money plants or the pothos.
Right.
So you have various kinds of them, but most of them react or behave the same way. So that's not a problem at all.
Right.
Then you have cacti, but many Indian households are averse to the idea of having cacti. So, but I have like really cute cacti in my house, and nothing bad has happened to me ever. Perfectly fine.
You don't water the cacti though.
Yeah, so these are like how pothos sort of grows. Sort of come together really well, and you'll really enjoy growing these. And the last one that I always suggest is a snake plant or the air purifiers. They don't need attention, they just grow by themselves, they are own providers, so that's a lot of fun also. So yeah, these are my favorite recommendations.
Yeah, fantastic. I know I have a money plant which I cannot seem to kill. That's the first plant I have ever got that I haven't killed yet. So
You won't kill that one. You just got to leave it. It doesn't need overwatering. It just grows really well in its own capacity. Always touch the soil. And if the soil sticks to your hand, you don't want to water it.
Okay.
That's your best bet.
So where do you get your plants from? What is the best place for me to get some nice plants home?
So, of course, there are nurseries around the city. There are a lot of vendors on the road that sell plants as well. My only concern with them is that some of them end up selling you rotten plants, which you don't realize. And sometimes you may have not eaten with the plant, but someone sold you a rotten plant.
Right.
Which happens a lot as well. So,
right.
I have preferred places where I've actually built relations with the Malis or the nursery owners, and I've been buying from them. So there's one nursery in Juhu called Vriksha.
Right.
Then you have Bhavans in Andheri, and you have Plant People, which is also in Versova. These are the three places that I feel you can get really nice plants. They also educate you very well about that.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about what happens once you start keeping plants at your house. I'll ask you to show your room off later, but I want to know a little bit about how you are, you know, how that affects you on a personal level.
So again, one of the most important things that I think I sort of learned or I saw a change in is a open mood.
Right.
Then, I mean, I think the last 4 months in the pandemic hasn't been the best. But, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you see greens around you, in general, it doesn't have anything to do with a plant, but just the idea of something growing around you and thriving,
right,
your mood change quite a bit. I have a lot of plants on my desk because it really enhances productivity.
Right.
Concentration. And I'm someone who is extremely... like all over the place, so this really helps a lot. And of course, clean air,
right.
Less fatigue. Also, the idea that you're taking care of something, nourishing it,
absolutely,
and it's helping to grow.
Absolutely.
You sort of resonate in your own life as well, because you start seeing that if this can grow, even in a pandemic, even in things that are not good, you can do that. So I think it's extremely good mood and extremely good.
So absolutely, I think psychologically having plants at home and being able to see, so someone's commenting on the greenery around here and that is because of you. So yeah, I think it's a fantastic way for us to sort of keep ourselves motivated and happy. And I like having a plant at my desk as well. More and more people are setting up their home offices now. They want to keep a little plant at their desk.
Yeah.
Now you can get fake plants. What are your thoughts on fake plants and actually keeping some of those?
Again, like I said, if it's a mental stimulant which you are just going to see and feel better about, you can. But honestly, you can get a real plant and let it grow and survive around you. So that's not a problem. I would always recommend a real plant because, you know, I mean, I don't know about other people who have plants, but I'll talk about myself. I do end up touching my plants and feeling them quite a bit. Just to see how they're feeling and doing, right?
Right.
You feel nature. We live in an urban lifestyle, but we don't walk on soil.
Right.
We don't feel the earth. This is your only good way to sort of reconnect to your environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always suggest to have
absolutely. Once. And I think when you have a real plant, you also actually, you can tell, right? When a plant is real, is living and breathing, it kind of affects you differently, I believe.
It does.
Can you talk
to me? So I have plants at home, which if you don't water them, they completely go right. down. I'll show you. So this one, if I don't water this one, it'll completely sleep. The minute you water it, it just wakes up. And you can see it with your own eyes.
Right.
So you see how they actually do reciprocate to you. It's not... It takes some time. But once they get used to you, they're just thriving.
I want to segue into actually taking care of these plants now. So like you said, watering them, fertilizer, it seems like too much. So how do I learn? How do I make sure
I just feel like you don't need to particularly do so many things around your plants. I think just you want to water them once a week. You want to get them out in the sun and you want to put them back in their place if they are low light plants.
Right.
Other than that, everything else will come after a few months. You don't want to take so much, but your house has bananas. It has eggshells.
Right.
You can always crush them and put it.
Okay.
You can also put banana peels in it. You have rice water, lentil water. You know, when you wash it, the starch that you throw out.
Right.
These are just easy fertilizers. You don't want to go buy it also.
So you can basically use stuff that you have left over from home and we can
Yeah. Completely. You can use so many things from your kitchen. Like I've started composting now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people who've been doing composting for the longest time. And that's all with the stuff that is in the house. So you can use everything, every wet ingredient from your vegetables in the kitchen can be used in some form or the other in your plants.
So, I mean, that's fantastic. I actually want to talk a little bit more about composting and, you know, how you're actually using some of the stuff that's left over in your kitchen. For example, someone who already has plants at home and wants to start composting and using, you know, those fertilizers, where do they get started?
Yeah.
How does that work?
So you get ready compost kits, which comes with two big drums, all right, with soil inside it. You basically put all your wet ingredients. When I say, I'm talking about carrot peels, tomato leftovers, onions, everything. You put it inside it.
Mm-hmm.
After a month, the composting process starts. Once all the nutrition of these vegetables sort of start seeping into the soil. Mm-hmm. And that soil itself is your compost. So you just put it into all your plants in the house.
Right.
So it's basically you're making it. You also put a bowl of curd because the fermentation happens because of that.
Okay.
But the good part, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you the composting link in case you want to put it up for your followers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they can buy it. Everything is available. It's a very, very well... very well conducted, informative space. There won't be a problem.
So somebody's actually asking a little bit about insects and how do we keep insects away. Before you answer that, I have a school of thought basically that talks about how we don't want to keep insects away. There's actually a type of farming which basically says, let the insects come, let them eat. It's part of nature. So address that as well as talk about, you know, keeping them away.
So, I'll do it two ways. There's something called vermicompost also, which is done because of snails and caterpillars, which is extremely healthy for your plants. But there are many people that are averse to the idea of insects flying around because they may have kids, they may have someone old in their house. So, it's a two-way stream and you have to sort of think about
it.
Like very good that you can keep lemongrass because lemongrass, the smell of lemongrass doesn't work very well. Citric smell doesn't work very well for insects. Also, you don't want to keep too many herbs and vegetables if you think you don't want insects. You want to keep more snake plants, you want to keep potholes, you want to keep things that you can keep propagated plants that don't attract insects.
Okay.
Yeah, because they want to stay moist, so insects won't really come. But like, I did see someone write, Shini, right? Correct. That lemongrass will act as a good repellent, but insects are actually okay. They don't really come on you. They're on the plant, they just move. Yeah, yeah.
So someone also asked about, you know, when you water plants and, you know, the water sort of seeps out and creates a little puddle, how do you manage stuff like that?
You get trays under your plants. So you have to get all your pots with the tray. You don't want to buy the pot without the tray ever. I don't have one around me right now, but I would have shown it to you. But right, it's always a tray with the pot. And you don't want to always overwater your plant. You want to actually learn over a period of time how much it requires. You don't want water to flow out, because every time you do that, nutrition leaves the pot as well. So if you've done it once, you realize that okay, one cup makes water come out. Next time I want to do it 3/4.
Okay,
3/4 also lets water come out. I want to do it half, you know, so you sort of progress with it.
What about pruning your plants? You know, a lot of them you'll see like they catch disease or they get a little yellow. That happens to me. How do you sort of take care of that, and when do you actually prune your plants?
So pruning is a plant's best friend. They love getting pruned. It's not like how dogs behave when they get a haircut. But right, you have a dog, and you know that if you gave a haircut to the dog, it thrives. The fur thrives. It grows really well. Like again,
right,
the same thing is for plants. They really like pruning. The minute you start pruning them, they start growing in other directions as well.
Okay.
And they're happy with it. So if you think that the leaf's turning older, you don't want to wait for it to grow really big, because that doesn't happen in home plants, because home plants are domesticated plants.
Right.
So you want to start cutting them off. The minute you start cutting them off, you start realizing that they're growing more and more and more.
Got it.
If flowering plant, they'll give a lot of flowers as well.
Okay.
So pruning is a must. Soil eradicate, like, you know, you want to take if you don't have tools in your house, it's completely fine, but you want to excavate the soil out as well, at least
till
half your index finger, not touch the root. But if every technique you're able to do both of these things, pruning maybe once a month, but get soil more oxygen. Plus, like for example, this plant, if you see, it's too hard.
Right.
I should be using a knife and
okay,
at least this much, and start getting it more oxygenated. My growth will increase.
Got it. So interesting. So where do you? So can you talk to me a little bit about resources I can use to, you know, make sure I know all of this, and, you know, what kind of websites can I visit? What kind of books can I read to be a little bit better and make sure my plants, for example, getting the water they need and they're getting pruned properly.
So I'll tell you something about plants. It's botanicals in general is a very vast subject.
Right.
And the internet has a plethora of information about it. What's good is that you want to get plants about them and their care tips.
Okay.
I'm also going to send you some things that I refer to the people that I follow who give a lot of detailed instructions about the plants. But the other thing is that I want you to go with your gut.
Right.
Because you have to realize that everyone who's giving you these instructions has extremely different conditions in their house or the place they live in. So I may tell you that my pothoses or my creepers thriving in my house, but you're saying it's dying because maybe yours is outside in the open in front of the sun, while I kept it indoors in front of the AC.
Right.
So what nobody in the world is going to be able to sort of teach each other is that where we keep the plants and what climatic condition in the house it is, a lot of difference. So I feel because we're a part of nature, you know what's happening to the plant. And it may be some with time. I didn't know it overnight also. I also learned it over a period of time. But you do see a sensibility on, you've seen it thriving and now it's not thriving. So you know the difference and you start doing different things to make it feel better.
Got it. So now is when I ask you to, you know, show off some of your favorite plants. Actually walk us through what kind of plants you've gotten at home. Show your room as well. So I can.
I will. I didn't think I'm going to do this on today's live, but I'm going to do it because it's you and no one else. So wait, I'm just going to turn the camera around.
Just walk us through what kind of plants you have as well.
Okay. So see, like I was saying, like it's different for different people. I have this plant here, which is in front of the AC, but it these they don't they are an outdoor plant. But right now, because of the rain, they are over here. This is the snake plant. This is a variation of the snake plant.
Okay.
And I have two more of these. One is here, and one is here. They're all snake plants. This is a pachira. This one. And this over here is my monstera.
That's a beautiful plant.
Yeah, it's a tropical plant and it doesn't need too much sunlight. Mm-hmm. It generally grows under bigger plants. That's why it doesn't need, because every plant is always an outdoor plant. This is a type of a monstera, but it's a different variant altogether. It's a monstera Peru.
Okay.
So, see, I was talking about the creepers and the pothos. See, my pothos are here. I have a bunch of them and I have trailed them around the...
They all look so healthy.
So, again, like, these are all growing in coco peat.
Okay.
It's pretty wet. Yeah. This is called a mikan. Again, a trailing plant. Actually, lately I've been into trailing plants, so you'll see a lot of trailing plants.
Okay.
This is something called a snowflake or something on these lines. I just want to see this. It's a beautiful plant.
Yeah.
This one is a very, I mean, that's what they told me at the nursery. It's a very rare type of a snake plant. Also, snake plants have very thick leaves.
Mm-hmm.
This is artificial, do not buy these, but they look nice.
So
it's hard.
So the thicker the leaves, the less you water them. Is that how it works? Have you watered them more?
Mostly, yes. Mostly, yes. This is the ZZ I was talking to you about.
Right.
Again, thick leaves. I water it once every 10 days.
Got it.
This is a succulent. And this is a mini monstera again. This is the same thing. Yeah, but... Basically, yeah, my bed's not the cleanest, but I have a propagation center going on top of my bed. I don't tend to show that.
Yeah.
And this is the last part. This is again a propagation center that I've created with things that I find on my run. I keep them all over here.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Not only are you collecting plants from nurseries, you're also picking them up from outside, so which is really cool.
Yeah, I feel like I'll show you one more cool thing. I'm growing coriander in old recycled boxes.
Okay.
So you know what the idea is, that of course I wasn't like a pro at this when everything started or how it was supposed to sort of work. But what I realized over a period of time is that you don't necessarily have to buy plants every time. You can always propagate them, and propagation is something I think I learned on the way. They really help. They grow your plants really good roots to the plant. And the minute they grow as big as an inch, you can pot it.
Nice. So I'd love to see your passion and how much fun you've had doing this, you know. So I think most people don't, like me, I need to take less stress about keeping them alive and actually enjoy the process of growing a plant. What are your favorite plant Instagram pages? I know there are a bunch of them out there now. Can you talk to us a little bit about that as well?
I won't know them on the top of my head, but they generally all start with the name plant binding, plant binding team, plant by somebody. The thing is that what I really like about how they do it is that they do this full time. I don't do this full time, but then they do this full time, and they sort of advanced into giving out their plants, getting new plants, giving out cuttings, and they do a lot of exchange programs. And that's one thing I want to start in the city, where we exchange our plants. And we all get to keep newer plants in our houses.
So there you go. We are on Instagram. So if anyone is looking for new plants, Nikki will exchange them.
Yeah.
I really want to do it.
Yeah.
So you can get that started.
I have a lot of exotic plants, which I feel I can give people for the cuttings and they can grow it. They don't need to necessarily buy a new plant, because buying plants can get really expensive as well.
Right.
So you want to just take it easy when you begin with. And I can't wait to see what you buy.
Yeah, well, I have a few money plants I just pick up from around, and they've done pretty well so far. I don't know if I'm so adventurous that I can, you know, jump into tropical plants yet, but yeah. I'm happy to try. Again, thank you so much for your time, Nikki. This was fantastic.
I'm so glad we did this.
Yeah, I had a great time. I learned something new, and I hope everyone did as well.
Yes.
Please share those links with me as well. I'll put them up in our bio.
Yes, yeah. I will. And you put them up on your stories and let people know how to compost as well as create homemade fertilizers. I think these two will really help. It's great information for people to do it because it's all around them.
Right, absolutely. Thanks again, Nikki.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.